Tyramentes, and they put him on Tanina. That's where we're continuing. This Torah is shortish, but very, very significant.
That's eggs and birds?
Excuse me?
You go for the eggs and the chicks?
Yes. The law specifically mentions the Afrechim, the chicks. This chapter on Likutei Moharan, again, there's some very, very interesting points on Likutei Halachos, which we'll make, hopefully, after we learn the Torah. But the Torah itself is very important. Rabbi Nazar says, Lufi Gdolois Hashem Yisporach, according to the greatness of Hashem, Va'itzim Reimamusa Yisporach, and according to how exalted Hashem is, Bitnua Kalo Bi'alma, with the tiniest move, Ubehistaklus Bi'alma, with the tiniest look, She'enui Karoi, which is improper, Lufi Chveida Yisporach, according to the great Kaved of Hashem, in other words, according to how incredibly great we perceive Hashem to be, that we realize and admit that we have no understanding whatsoever as to what is Hashem and how great Hashem could possibly be. In fact, we mentioned this once before, but this is a beautiful thing that's worth mentioning. The Shira Kodesh says, this is a question that you could ask, I would guess, any Talmud Chacham that hasn't seen this from the Shulchan Kodesh itself, they would not have the answer to this question. We know that the most basic name of Hashem that everybody uses in davening, in siddur, and everywhere else is pronounced Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. A, Do, and then Noi. That's the pronunciation of Hashem's name. In fact, the Gemara Pesachim says that Hashem's name, which is written, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, we're not permitted to pronounce it as it's written. When Moshiach comes, we'll be able to pronounce it as it's written. But nowadays, it's written, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and it's pronounced as if it were written, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Shulchan Kodesh asks, if you know your Hebrew, something seems to be inaccurate here. That word seems to have zero definition, zero meaning. In Hebrew, there is a word, Adoni. Adoni means my master. That's a valid word. In Hebrew, there's another word, Adonai, my masters, plural. If a person has several bosses, he refers to them as Adonai. In the Hebrew language, there isn't any correct word by the rules of diktuk that would be Ado and then Noi, with a comets at the end. No such thing. The Shulchan Kodesh says, my high, what's going on here? And the Shulchan Kodesh answers, Rabbi Zal once mentioned this in the Shir, the Shulchan Kodesh answers that this, the Zohar Kodesh says that the vowels are actually the vowels, the nekudos that are used in the Hebrew language are broken out into two classes. There are dots and dashes. Only Chirik is one dot, Tzeire is two dots, Sekel is three dots. Pasach is a dash, a line. Shuruk is a vav, a line. Malupum is a vav and a dot inside. It's a line and a dot inside. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what is komatz? What is komatz? Komatz is a combination of the two. If you look in your children's books, usually when we write it in script, we write it as if it were two lines. But if you look in your children's Reishis Das books, or any place where it prints the vowels properly, the komatz is a line and a little circle, a dot, under it, connected by a thin line. So the komatz is actually a pasach and a chirik tied together. The Shulchan Kodesh says this is the definition of Hashem's name Adonai, meaning, what do we mean to say? Hashem is, for me to say Hashem is my master, that's great, but it's not really saying it all. What we want to say is, every person in this world has a boss. Every husband has a wife. Every child has parents. Everybody's got a boss, and everybody's got multiple bosses. Reagan, President Reagan is our boss, and this one, everybody's got hundreds of bosses. When we want to describe Hashem, we want to say about Hashem like Lahavdil, the Mafia says, the boss of bosses, that Hashem is the boss out of all the different bosses, every different concept of ruler, master that exists in the world, Hashem is the boss over all of those. The Shulchan Kodesh says that's the meaning of this word Adonai, the komatz. It's as if we're saying both. Hashem is Adoni of Adonai. Hashem is my master of all the different masters that exist, this is a beautiful pshat in understanding this world. If that's the case, that Hashem is so great and so incredible, we know that when it comes to dealing with a lower level boss, you make the wrong move, you say the wrong words sometimes, and you get your head blown off, you know, etc., etc. If that were the case, in comparison, when we're talking about Hashem, who is such an infinitely high-level boss, it would seem logical to say that the tiniest infraction, the tiniest wrong move, let's say we're dealing against a king who is so great, that if you do a move against him, it's registered as so bad. A king who's 20 times as great as him, if you do something insulting towards him, it's much worse because he's so much greater. If we're looking at Hashem as being the greatest possible, then it would seem that the tiniest wrong move constitutes a very, very big insult. Because Hashem's cover is so great, the tiniest wrong thing is a very, very big deal. And hoyaroi lovoi alhoda masharoi chas v'shom chas v'shom. And it would seem that that should bring upon the person chas v'shom a super incredible penalty. Ach, however, Hashem yisparach mole rachmin. Hashem is full of kindness. V'chol ha'olam mole rachmonus. And the whole world, Hashem fills the entire world with kindness. V'hu reitze ma'ed b'ha'olam. And Hashem wants very, very much for this world to exist and for the Jewish nation to exist. Al kein, therefore, צריך לחזק עצמי מאוד בעבודתי בכל מה שיוכל. Therefore, Rabbi Nazar says that a person has to be mechazik himself, a person has to console himself and strengthen himself in terms of serving Hashem any way that the person possibly can, af imhu kemei shehu. No matter how bad the person is, he should still be able to consider himself as being in the ring and still working and trying to serve Hashem well. Why? V'yismach al rachmov hamarubim ma'oid b'li shir. And the person should rely on Hashem's infinite kindness, to which there is no limit whatsoever. Ki b'vadai le'yazoy v'yisay af imovar ma'asherovar. That Hashem will not forsake a Jew no matter what the Jew has done wrong. In other words, based on this introduction, where logically, the tiniest infraction should get a person dead. Very simple. So that if the Torah tells us, Ein tzadik b'oretz asher ayechto, that even the biggest tzadikim make tiny mistakes, then logically, even they should be blown away in a second. There should be no human beings around, period. Therefore, by the mere fact that we see that that's not the case, that they're not getting, not everybody's getting blown away in a second, it implies how incredibly kind Hashem is. That's not the nature of Hashem. Hashem doesn't act logical, that where law would dictate and rationale and logic would dictate, that based on how great Hashem is, the tiniest wrong move, you finish. Hashem doesn't act like that. And Hashem's kindness is the overriding factor in every sense of the word. And therefore, no matter how bad you perceive yourself to be, you still have to assume that Hashem's kindness is great enough to accommodate you also and to still consider you as being in the ring and to help you start again, help you start coming close to Hashem again. Af im ovar mashovar, no matter what the person has done already in the past, ha'ovar ayin, the past no longer exists. The main thing is that from now on, from the present onward, the person should try not to do those bad things, not to repeat those bad things again. And the person should try at least to stand still, not to retreat, not to go back to doing a bad thing again, but at least, I'm stopping over here. The buck stops here. I'm not going to go back to doing those bad things I did before. Hein b'machshava, v'hein b'maisa. This applies to thought and to action. Ki gam hamachshava shel anoshim ko'elu hi gam kein asiya. Because Rabbeinu Zal says that the thinking process of people like these, people who have committed many sins in the past, their thoughts also constitute a form of action. Why? Ki gam bo'olam ho'asiya yesh machshava. We know that when Hashem created the world, when we use the term the world, there isn't the world. There are basically four worlds that are discussed in the Sforim HaKdoshim. And this again is not just Kabbalah, this is based on a pasuk in the Torah. In Pirkei Avos, one of the last sentences in Pirkei Avos is, the Gemara says, why did Hashem create everything in creation? Hakol bara lechvedoi. Everything Hashem created, He did for His honor. The Gemara says, how do we know this? It's a pasuk. There's a pasuk which says, lechvedi. Hashem says, for my kavod, for my honor, berosiv, yitzartiv, av asisiv. I have created. There's three verbs that are being used there. Berosiv, yitzartiv, and asisiv. Which the Zohar HaKadosh says, why are we using three verbs that mean pretty much the same thing? What's the reason? The Zohar HaKadosh says this refers to three different creations, three different worlds that Hashem created. And each one of these worlds has a name. There's an Olam HaBriya, there's an Olam HaYetzira, and there's an Olam HaAsiya. These are the three lower worlds, and Kaviyachol, the world that represents Hashem Himself, or the closest thing to Hashem, is called the Olam HaAtzilus. Atzilus is Miloshin Eitzel. Eitzel means next to. This is the closest thing to Hashem possible. Right next to Hashem is Atzilus. But the three other worlds are Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So that Asiya is the lowest world. The world that we human beings are in is called the Olam HaAsiya. The Olam HaYetzira is referred to as the world of the angels. The Olam HaBria is the world of the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, we know that each one of these worlds has its own unit of 10 spheroids. There's the Chochma of Bria, the Bina of Bria, the Das of Bria, and so on. In other words, within the Zohar Kodesh, within the Sefer Kabbalah, it shows how each one of these 10 attributes apply to each one of these four worlds. So that even within the Olam HaAsiya, the physical world, the world of action, which is called the lowest world, there is a Chochma of Asiya. There is a Bina of Asiya. So we see that there is a concept of Machshava, even when it comes to Asiya itself, when it comes to Olam HaMaisa, the lowest world. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal is saying that these people who are on this lowly level, by them even their thoughts are a very delicate item, that they have to try to see to it that if a person was having bad thoughts up until a certain point in time, to at least make a commitment of Sheval Tasa. I'm going to stop here, I'm not going to do it again, I'm not going to repeat the bad things. As to how good I'm going to become, that's a second question. But at least at whatever point in time I recognize that I've been bad up until now, I'm going to draw a line over here and say I'm not going back down there again. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'tzorech liya is sheva al taisa b'maisa u'b'machshava. A person has to lock himself into one position, that is to stay still. Shev means sit, v'al taisa, not to do anything, in action and in thought. U'mashena se'imo memela al yochosh v'al yistakel al ze klal. And that which happens to the person by itself, that is, those thoughts which bombard the person, which the person doesn't bring upon himself. It's not that he's sitting and thinking about an Avera or something like that, and in the midst of his thinking he's going through 10,000 bad thoughts, but those thoughts that seem to come weave their way in and out of a person's mind without the person doing any act to initiate them, those thoughts, Rabbeinu Zal says, al yochosh val yistakel al ze klal. The person should not attribute any significance to that whatsoever. The person should ignore it completely, 100%. It's nothing. Don't worry about it at all. This is what Rabbeinu Zal is saying. Vida, and Rabbi Gazal says you should know, She'ikar ha-tshuva ha-shlema, that the main 100% tshuva, as is discussed in the Rambam Zal and in the Gemara in Yuma and in all the Sforim that discuss this subject of tshuva is kishe'odam oiver be'elu ha-mekoymois mamish shehoya mikoydam ha-tshuva kol echod l'thima she'ovar olav b'yamim ha-koydmim. The main perfection of tshuva is when a person actually passes through those identical places that he went through before, where he committed sins and he did bad things, where the Satan gives him a deja vu. He puts him back in that identical scenario that he was in last time when he did the Avera. He's presented with the same situation, the same scene again, and he's tested, and this time he doesn't repeat the sin. That's what constitutes 100% tshuva. That's shlemus of tshuva, is only when the person is put through the identical test again and he passes it, that's when his original test, his original affair is erased completely. And when a person passes through those identical places and those identical situations, either in thought or speech or action that he was in before, and now, on this second time around, or on this 5 billionth time around, he turns his head away from them, and he subdues his Yetzirah, not to commit that sin again. That constitutes complete tshuva, the rak ze nikra tshuva, and only that is considered real teshuvah, real tshuva. So that if a person sees that he's starting to try to be good and be religious and everything, and suddenly Hashem puts him on a horse and ties him to the horse where he can't get off, and suddenly he's being raced back into the sewer that he thought he left behind completely, was finished with it, he made a new start, he crawled out of the sewer, he took a bath, a shower, he put on perfume, everything, he's all better. And then suddenly he looks at himself and he sees the mud starting to surround him again and everything. And he's saying, what's going on? Maybe I haven't accomplished anything at all. Person should know that many times this is a sign that Hashem is presenting the person with an opportunity, round two. You're going to be presented with the same scenario again. It's going to be played. They're going to play that song one more time to see if possibly, this time, you're going to do it the way you're supposed to. You're going to handle it correctly, and you're going to pass the test, and in one shot, you're going to correct all the different times in the past when you didn't pass this test. With this one shot, you're going to have one completely. You're going to clean the whole slate, wipe the whole slate 100% clean. Rabbi Nizal says, V'hu maila gedoyla kishiyesh adayin yetzahor lahodon. It's very, very advantageous to a person, very beneficial to a person, that the person still has a Yetzirah. Ki oz yochel avod oisei yisporach im ha-Yetzirah daika. Because it's only when a person still has a Yetzirah that he can serve Hashem with the Yetzirah. He and his Yetzirah could be made to serve Hashem. Dahainu, this means likach kol ha-hislahavus v'hachamimus, to take all of that passion and fire that exists within the person that could easily be used for sin, for avera, ulahachnisay b'toich avodas Hashem, and to funnel it, to concentrate it, to apply it into Torah, into mitzvahs, into serving Hashem. Dahainu, this means specifically lehisparel ulahischanein b'chamimus v'hislahavus aleivu kiyotzei, to daven to Hashem with real warmth and with real fire, putting fire, passion into the tefillah. Ve'im ein yetzahara l'ha'odam, ein avodoso shlemo klal. And if the person wouldn't have the yetzahara anymore, his aveda would not be b'shlemos. His aveda could not be b'shlemos. Now note, in the Zohar Kodesh, one of the nicknames that's given to the yetzahara is Chom. When the Torah says Oro Chum, that Chum, the son of Yaakov Avinu, was cursed, the Zohar Kodesh says, who is Chum? Chum is the Yetzirah. Why is Chum the Yetzirah? The Nechamim Gufei Bebarnash. That's the wording of the Zohar Kodesh. That the mission, one of the main things the Satan does is he warms up the body of a person. Now, if a person takes that warmth that could be applied to sin, and he places it inside a mitzvah, he does a mitzvah with warmth. He davens with a varmkeit. He learns with a varmkeit, with a warmth. He gives tzedakah with a warmth. He does mitzvahs, not with a coldness, but with a warmth, with a fire. That means he's taking the satan and using him to do mitzvahs. He's converting and making something good out of him. V'ho ikar, the main thing is, to put a stop, a complete halt to this warmth and fire in terms of when it tries to apply itself to the wrong things, to the wrong desires, and to reawaken and reapply this warmth, when it comes to tefillah and avodah. There he should place this warmth and this fire. And Rabbi Nezal says, even a person that's not such a big tzaddik, has times where he gets to daven real good, where the tefillah is a juicy one, where he gets to taste what it means to daven nicely on his level. Rabbi Nezal says, you should know that where does this warmth come from? It comes from the Yetzirah. The person doesn't receive reward for this. Meaning, when it happens accidentally, when it doesn't happen by a person's effort, where a person tries to do this, he doesn't really get rewarded for it. It's when a person concentrates and tries, makes a mental effort, a conscious effort, to apply this fire into the tefillah, into Torah, into mitzvahs, that's when he gets the credit for it. But Rabbi Nezal says, "Avol mi sheretz leisnai bekashrus, hu maila gedoyla kishiyesh leyadayin yitzahara." A person who wants to act properly in religion, to serve Hashem properly, it's very beneficial for such a person to still retain the Yetzirah, to have the Yetzirah, and to be able to use the Yetzirah in serving Hashem. On the simplest level, the Gemara mentions this, that when we say in the Kriya Shema, V'yahavtas Hashem lekecha b'chol levavcha, correct Hebrew would be b'chol libcha, with your entire heart. Heart is lev, it's not levav. Why does it say levavcha? The Gemara says that the yitzrim, the yitzer tev and yitzer hara, exist in the heart, in the right and left side of the heart. That's why the pasuk says nishrei lev chacham liyaminai v'lev ksil lesmelai. A chacham, a good person, accentuates the right side of his heart. A fool accentuates the left side, the satan, the yitzer hara. Hashem says, I want you to love me b'chol levavcha, with both sides. I want the Yetzirah to be included in loving me. Where? That's the fire. That's the gevurahs, the din, the judgment that a person places into mitzvahs, into Torah. When a mitzvah is done with both chesed and gevurah, the gevurah being this eish, this fire that's applied to doing mitzvahs, that's when a person is using the Yetzirah, this chom, this mechamim gufei d'marnash, he's using it for kedusha, and this is something that gives Hashem tremendous nachas. This is going to be the basis for the next year with Hashem, where we'll discuss what Rav Nosson says in the Kotei Halacha is about this in terms of applications. What does each paragraph here mean? What's Tshuva Shlema? What does it mean that it's good to have Yetzirah? David HaMelech said, "V'libi chol bekirbi." I've eliminated my Yetzirah. What did that mean? Etc. Etc. We have a lot to say about this with Hashem.